Prologue. A Pantheon of Evil. The wind rushed through the night, bringing with it a scent that would change the world. In the darkness, a Doraka crouched. It looked like a man, but stood taller than most. Yet it held no substance, given form only by its gauntleted hands and dark cloak. A hood was pulled over its head, but where a face should have been, just empty darkness that seemed to swallow the faint patches of moonlight. Sniffing the air, the Doraka recoiled with surprise. They were here! The Doraka turned to address its companion, identical in clothes and lack of physical form. The Doraka spoke in a low voice, as hard and cold as ice.
Find cover behind the trees and bushes. Stop whoever is coming, or Cinder will flay us alive.
The second Doraka nodded, silent as a shadow as it moved into position. An owl let out a screech, and the Doraka raged silently at the bird. It thirsted for the feather creature's flesh, but didn't move. It could not afford to lose its composure tonight. Tomorrow it would hunt. The Doraka remained motionless until the bird streaked out of sight into the darkness of the trees. With the owl gone, the Doraka waited. It was almost completely dark in the forest, but that only made them near invisible. In the darkness, they waited, and waited, and waited. The minutes turned into long hours. The scent must have wafted ahead of its owners. The Doraka sniffed again, and the scent was much stronger this time. They were close at hand now. Turning, it rasped,
"Now!"
Its companion hissed in acknowledgement, and they drew their swords. They were thin enough to slip between a pair of ribs, yet stout enough to hack through the hardest armor. A sickening smell emanated from the blades as if they had been dipped in rotten fruit. Together, the Doraka waited in silence, sword tips twitching in the air. It had taken numerous plots and much pain to get to this point, and it would do no good to lose control now. Suddenly, they saw faint smudges emerge in the darkness along the trail. Three horses cantered forward, their heads high and proud, their glossy coats shining in the moonlight. Two females and one male rode atop the horses. The first rider was a young woman with a slim but sturdy build. A powerful bow was slung on her back, and a sword was strapped to her side opposite a quiver of arrows fletched with eagle feathers. The second rider was as poised as the first, though several years younger than the woman. He held a spear in one hand, and a jeweled dagger was sheathed at his side on his belt. The final rider was the youngest of the Trinity. Her long hair was pulled back in a braid over her shoulder, and a silver circlet rested on her forehead. Her eyes were alert, continually shifting back and forth for danger and shining with a driving force. Her clothes were unadorned, yet her exquisite beauty was undiminished. At her side was a golden sword sheathed in a bronze scabbard, the pommel topped with a yellow diamond. She gripped the sword tightly, tension rippling through her entire body as if she expected to be attacked at any moment. The young man leaned and said something to the younger woman. She answered with apparent authority and nodded as they changed formation. The young man with the spear took the lead, holding his spear in a readier grip. They passed the ambush site without any suspicion. The Doraka were already savoring the victory when something went amiss. With snorts of alarm, the horses tossed their magnificent heads. The three riders tensed, eyes flashing from side to side, then wheeled their mounts around and galloped away. The youngest woman's horse surged forward, leaving the other two far behind. Forsaking cover, the Daraka leaped forward, as weightless as the darkness itself, as they screeched. The forest seemed to quiver at the unnatural, nightmarish sound. The youngest woman's horse whinnied in fright, but she urged it forward. The Daraka slashed the horse across the chest with its sword. With a high-pitched squeal, the horse toppled, plowing into the ground. The woman leaped off the horse and rolled to her feet, whirling to see what had become of her two guards. The Daraka's sword had already made quick work of the man and woman. A cry of anguish escaped from the young woman's lips as she beheld her dead companions. She took a step toward them, saw the two creatures advancing on her, and cursed the two of them and bounded into the forest.
"After her!"
the Daraka screeched.
"She is the one we need!"
The other Daraka hissed, stood, and moving with incredible speed, raced after the woman. While the other Daraka hissed through the trees, the leader climbed a piece of granite jutting out above them. From the perch, the Daraka could see all the surrounding forest. There was much shouting, then a scream, and the Daraka caught a glimpse of the young woman running back up the trail. When the woman ran into an area where the trees were less dense, the Daraka saw its fellow after her. The young woman fled toward the jagged piece of granite. The Daraka examined the ground 20 feet below, jumped, and landed swiftly in front of her. She skidded to the side and sped back to the trail. Before she had gone 20 paces, the second Daraka appeared. The leader followed to the woman's left, blocking her only escape routes. The young woman's head whipped around as she tried to find a way out. Seeing none, she drew herself up with regal disdain and faced the first creature.
"Get her!" said the Daraka.
The woman drew her sword. The long golden blade flashed wickedly yet beautifully in the light as she raised it above her head while her lips formed frantic words. The Daraka shouted,
"Stop her!"
The two sprinted toward her, a pair of missiles flying toward the woman, but they were a second too late. As her words stopped, her blade shone as bright as the sun, and they fell back, screeching. The sword disintegrated in golden petals, glowing with power, and encircled her, in a shapeless flurry of light shifting continuously. With a shout, she gave the now bladeless handle a ferocious swing. The undulating radiance snapped around and slammed into the Daraka, hurling them back with tremendous force as the paper-thin petals of light shredded its clothing. The Daraka screeched as they flew back. They got up instantly as she gave another swing of the sword, but the first Daraka moved into her blind spot and smote her in the side with its sword. The young woman screamed in pain as the secretion on the metal ate away at her skin like acid, leaving black marks on her side. The Daraka slammed into the young woman, now stunned and vulnerable. She flew across the trail, slammed into a tree, and crumpled to the forest floor. The two stared down at the young woman.
"Will she live?"
asked the second Daraka.
"Yes,"
said the lead Daraka.
"Cinder wants her alive. I wounded her, but that was unavoidable. We'll tend to her later. Retrieve our sword, and be sure we are well enough to leave."
The Doraka picked up the woman's fallen blade and carried it off to the side as the lead Doraka tended to the wound on the woman's side, preventing the acid from eating away at any more of her flesh. It looked up at the cold stars before turning back to her unconscious form. Her beauty was exquisite and stunning by human standards, although it held no charm for the Doraka. The Doraka turned as its companion returned, bringing with it their horses. The Doraka lashed the unconscious woman to his mount and got into its saddle. The Doraka nudged their mounts in the side, and they trotted forward to parts unknown.